I love, Jeff told me, Jeff came last Sunday afternoon, Jeff newly saved, and he told me, you know, he said, man, Hebrews, that was tough. Now, the passage we went through last week was one of the more difficult ones in Hebrews, and I said, well, hang in there, Jeff. And so it threw him for a loop, but what we really talked about last week was rest in Christ, right? So look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. We do not get to heaven by our works. It's only by the work of Christ. But then verse 11, kind of shocking. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. So the focus that we should have is entering into the rest of Christ. Not to work our way to salvation, but after you're saved, stay in that rest. Abide in Christ. Stay focused on Christ. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now then we have verses 12 and 13. That's all I'm going to cover tonight. Let's read that. After that passage, then we have these last few verses of Hebrews 4 that talk about God's word and the blessing of being able to access the throne of grace. We're just going to look at God's word tonight. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, or with whom we will answer. And so, just simply tonight, title of the message, The Powerful Word of God, The Powerful Word of God. I'm going to have 20 things. It's not exhaustive. 20 things that the Bible is the source of tonight. But I just first want to deal with this passage. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In one view, and it's never correct to view it this way, it seems somewhat random. We're talking about entering into his rest. And all of a sudden, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Where did that come from? You're like, the Bible's like you're preaching. It's like, where did that come from? But God always has a link. God always has a purpose. But here's what I believe. It's this. You want to enter into his rest. We enter into his rest by truth. We enter into his rest by the word of God. And then when he finishes, we enter into rest by prayer. If we talk about this often, we talk about coming to Jesus, abiding in Christ, staying in Christ, being with Christ, just walking with Christ. It is the key, two keys to that are the word of God and prayer. If you ask, the most neglected of those two is the word of God. I mean, people will tell me, oh, I read the Bible all the time. I go, where are you reading right now? And they're like, well, they don't even know a book of the Bible to tell me. They're like, you got 66 chances, my friend. Just pick one. I said, you wouldn't by chance be in Habakkuk, would you? And they're like, no. But it's you and I, though. You and I. It's a treasure, right? So he says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The analogy that it gives is a sword that, sharper than any two-edged sword. And then it says, piercing even to the dividing of sunder and soul and spirit. Now, I think it's so fascinating, I don't think this is the objective, that he says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We could spend days, we could spend months talking about what is the soul and spirit and what is it that the word of God splits the soul and the spirit. But here's what I tell you. It's the amazing precision of the word of God. The soul and spirit, what I do love is I'm comforted by this, actually, that the soul and spirit, the Bible talks about interchangeably sometimes. And so, you know, we say, are you dichotomous or trichotomous? I'm a trichotomous guy, body, soul, and spirit. But it's, you know, I sort of get where people can be dichotomous and just say we are body and soul and or body and spirit, whichever one I know because the Greek. But it's what I love is the soul and spirit, right? So the soul and spirit, right, in its truest sense, right, the spirit's probably the eternal component of man. It's the word pneuma is used. The word pneuma is used for the Holy Spirit as well. So our spirit, our eternal component is probably that. The soul is likely the part of us that's more of our mind, our will, our emotions. And so, you know, what the Bible says is the Bible can separate the eternal component from the person that thinks and has emotions and a will and all of that. And so that's the amazing precision. I think that was the only point of this, not that we would get into the soul and spirit discussion tonight. But it says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You got to understand where this is placed. This is placed where the writer of Hebrews, obviously it's God, but God used somebody to pen it. But the writer of Hebrews is challenging heavily, right? When you've gone through this with me in Hebrews, you can be concerned about your salvation. Well, how do I know if I'm saved? Get into the Bible. Get into the Word of God. Well, I'm not sure if my so-and-so is saved, if my friend is saved, if my relative is saved. Get into the Word of God, and the Bible will reveal that. You don't have to do that. You aren't quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and you can't penetrate to the soul and spirit, but the Word of God can. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over again, and I absolutely love it. When you don't know what to do, teach the Bible. When you don't know what to do, sit down with people in the Bible. I saw Johnny again today, and I love Johnny. Johnny's growing. It was just good. We had a good time today, Johnny and I did. So it was, and he's concerned about his wife. And I said, we need to have a Bible study. And I said, I'm not going to pound her. I'm not going to point at her. I said, we're just going to study the Bible, and we're going to let God do the rest. I'm telling you, I care for people more than this. But I think I could turn to Leviticus, and God would pierce the dividing asunder. Leviticus is inspired of God, so I know, but you know, it's going to be the last book of the Bible that I teach. We're going to go Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and, you know, I'm just going to do it chronologically. And so, but Leviticus is God's word, right? It has a great purpose, and there are many things. My struggle with Leviticus, just a full confession, is it's, and I've never preached it. I've never taught it. When you preach and teach it, it'll be different. It seems so redundant. I'm like, I got where those kidney goes. And, you know, it's constantly telling me where it's all good. But then there's some interesting things about it. But I believe this. It's the Word of God. We constantly say this, whether Ron's teaching Sunday school, Stephen's teaching Sunday school, Todd's teaching Sunday school, it doesn't matter who's teaching Sunday school. We're like, you know, it's so amazing. It's that how our Sunday school lessons just dovetail. They're so wonderful. It really isn't us. It's the Bible. The Bible's alive. The Bible is moving. The Bible's eternal. The Bible's timeless. And when you teach the Bible, it's perfectly in harmony. And if we're teaching the truth, what we'll find is it looks like that lesson was perfectly fit for this lesson. Maybe, but it's happened so many times, I just think it's the amazing nature of God's Word. It's quick, it's alive, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and it's discerned of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It says in Jeremiah, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I do hear this way more, and it's not usually from Christians. They'll go, God knows my heart, and I go, and he's not impressed. I mean, it's desperately wicked, it's filthy, it's not good. That should concern you, that you said some truth there. He knows your heart, and you're in trouble. But I love the Word of God. If you're a Christian, we're delusional, right? All of us in this room, we think more highly of ourselves than we should. And sometimes we're honest with ourselves. But what I love about the Word of God, it'll do the work. Get in the Word of God, and let it do the work. And he says, because look at verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. God is going to manifest all things, but all things are naked and open unto him, under the eyes of him with whom we have to do, with whom we'll have to give account. And the writer here, what he's saying is this, wouldn't it be better for you to find out what God already knows? Wouldn't it be better for you to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God do some carving of you, right? Do some cutting on you, so that you can find out what's wrong. I've got another minor surgery. It'll be transparent to you, right? So once you meet your deductible, right? I mean, you just kind of, I'm all in this year, right? So they're going to do but these have been on hold. They're going to do a little nose surgery. Cosmetic. No, I'm just kidding. And they're going in, and they're looking. It's just something in my nose, right? It's like I said, you can take as much as you want. And they're going to go in there. Now, they're not expecting cancer, they're saying, oh, it's like a 99% odds. But if they find cancer, they immediately stop the surgery because it's so close to your eyes and your brain and all that kind of stuff. But it's they're going in to understand, do I have a problem? Had a CT, and they said, no, everything looks good, but we still would remove this. And so I said, okay, I met my deductible, and I trust the Lord with that. And so, you know, anytime you have that, it's dangerous. But they've said it's recommended, and I think they're trying to do their best. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to discern. They're going to cut it open, and then they're going to go, whoa. You know, I joke all the time. I said, they said, you have a mass in your nose. I said, I'm so sorry. Let me get it out. And so I joke with them, right? And so they're going to try to discern what is the issue. The Word of God will do that for you. The Word of God will help you understand. It'll help you be true. It'll help you be honest. And that's the blessing. Now let's look at 20 things. These aren't original for me. I've just had a good time pulling different things, scriptures, other people's thoughts. So we have 20 things that you might add to them. But here's the 20. The Word of God is the source of the knowledge of God. Here's some scriptures. So just the source of the knowledge of God. Now I know Romans 1:20 says that His creation declares His Godhead. And it does. But how do we know that what it's declaring is the God of the Bible? Because the Bible validates that, right? So the knowledge of God. I just have a few scriptures here that I just picked. And Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. How do we know that? The Word of God. Philippians 3:8, Paul, after giving his resume that would be humanly impressive, he wasn't impressed. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, all of my accomplishments that I've accomplished, that the world would say, wow, you're an accomplished man. He said, I count them but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I want you to understand, yes, the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. And so rest in that. We need to know the Scriptures, not just to have knowledge, so that we know Him, so that the more we know Him, the more we'll trust Him, the more we trust Him, the more we'll love Him, the more we'll love Him, the more we'll honor Him. It's that simple. So the Word of God. Let me just tell you, I tell everybody this. I think you ought to tell everybody this. When I usually witness to people, and I can tell if they're going to be difficult, I'll say, I'm going to be up front with you. I'm going to tell you my bias. I believe that the God of the universe is a big enough God to preserve His book. I believe we have that translated into English. And I have the confidence in that book that we have everything God wants us to know to be made right with Him. And so what I'll try to do is I'll try to answer you according to the Word of God. I'll try to answer you on what the Bible says. I don't really care about my opinion. I love it when people challenge me. They'll go, that's your opinion. And I'll say, well, here's a Bible verse. Somebody just this week, they said, well, the Bible never calls Christians Christians. I said, well, it does. Acts chapter 11. They were first called Christians at Antioch. And when I showed them, they're like, wow, I just can't believe that. And I said, well, you know, they were shocked. They kind of believed it, but they were just like, I just can't believe that's in the Bible. I said, it is. I said it was a term of derision originally. They were mocking them. Oh, little Christ. Little Christ. That's what that means. But the word Christian, right, just means Christ-like. And so trust in the Bible. It's the knowledge of the Lord. Second, the Bible is the source of faith. Romans 10:17, you know this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It is, make sure of this. Somehow there's a balance. I feel like sometimes when I witness, people go, I don't want to hear any more Bible. And I don't. I won't tell them much more Bible because I'm not trying to make it like, I know this, right? I don't. But here's what I believe. The Word of God has promised not to go out void. My words aren't. The Bible is the source of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I am going to give people the Word of God as much as they'll allow me to give them the Word of God. And so because I believe in what the Bible says, the Bible is the source of faith. Third thing, the Bible's the source of salvation. Just look at a couple of verses here. The Bible's the source of salvation. Oh, parents, Are you teaching your kids the Bible? You don't have to have an agenda and say, well, now let's be reminded that Jesus died on the cross. I think we ought to be talking about that all the time, but you don't have to do it every night in your devotions. You teach the Bible. You teach the Word of God. You share the Word of God, and the Word of God is where faith, where salvation comes from. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy, he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Had a guy tell me the other day. He said, you guys have a school? And I said, no, what makes you think? Because I'm always curious with our literature, right? I said, what makes you think we have a school? He said, Hope Kids. He saw that on our literature. And I said, oh, well, while we're out knocking on people's doors like yours, I said, we have the kids back and we're teaching them Scripture. And he goes, oh, so you're brainwashing them. I said, well, what else would you want us to teach them? The Bible or what the world thinks? I want to tell you this. One of the greatest blessings I ever had was being raised in a Christian home. Was it a perfect Christian home? Not even close. But oh, I was blessed. I was around the Bible. I had the opportunity to be around the Bible. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You want to help your kids be wise unto salvation? Then you teach them the Word of God. And I know there's going to have to be a balance. I want to be the fun grandpa, right? I want to be the grandpa that the kids love to be with. I learned from my niece. I don't think I was that overbearing. But I got the feedback. She said, you know, I wish Uncle Steve could talk about more than just the Bible. And so I think I did. Anyway, but so there's a balance, but I want to tell you this. In the morning, at noon time, and when we sit down, we will talk about the Word of God. Make it just natural, right? What in the world? 1 Peter 1:23. That's being it in the Greek. No. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, we know this, O Christian. The most powerful thing that we can present to people is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. Is share with them the truth of the Word of God. I've watched it. Now, it may make some people repel, but it's the source of salvation. Fourth thing I want you to see is the source of truth. John 17:17, Jesus was praying in this prayer right before his arrest. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. One thing I love about young people, they know they've been lied to. I love it because they know that people aren't telling them the truth. They just want you to tell them the truth, tell it to them in love, and disagree with them in love. Because they're gonna spout the things they've been taught. They're going to spout the things that will not get them in trouble with their friends. But they doubt everything that they've been taught. That's what I love about young people. They are smarter than the system gives them credit for. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to live a holy life? It's through the Word of God. Fifth, it's the source of freedom. We've talked this many times. Freedom. Now, what freedom is? Freedom isn't the ability to do whatever you want. Freedom, for the first time, is the ability to do what's right. Freedom, for the first time, is to be able to have victory over sin. Freedom isn't so you can dance on the line of sin or righteousness. Freedom is so that I can live a life like Jesus Christ. Do you think Jesus ever came close to sinning? Not even close. There wasn't I'm sure that Jesus got spanked. I think I've talked this before, right? Because Mary and Joseph were imperfect parents. And he had brothers and sisters that probably lied against him. Maybe they didn't spank him. Did Mary and Joseph understand right away? I mean, did they understand that Jesus was God? You think they did? You think they did? Then I wouldn't be spanking God. So maybe they didn't. And so I pray. I want to tell you, to be saved, they would have to know that he's God. So, you know, they were a little confused at times. But freedom is freedom from sin. Jesus says in John 8:31-32, it's, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is the key, if you continue in my word. You know what most people do? they stop. Most people think the Bible's boring. Most people aren't willing to grind, even if you're not wanting to, because your flesh will never want to read the Bible. Read the Bible slowly. I would tell you to focus on the New Testament versus the Old Testament. You know we preach both. And so, but if you're going to start, focus on the New Testament and go over it and over it again. The same chapter, 15, 20 times, until you understand that chapter. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's not a race. I don't mind the annual Bible reading plans, but I think it makes you treat the Bible like a textbook. If you treat the Bible like a textbook, where are all of my textbooks from my past college degrees? I have no idea. Nor do I care. And you guys made us move your stupid textbooks as though you're going to use them. See, they're still young and naive, right? They were hers. I saw like D- on one, right? That was yours. But see, they're young enough, they're like, I might use this. And so, but if you treat the Bible like a textbook, we discard it just like other textbooks. It's, don't let that happen. You know, I love Faith Bible Institute that we have on Mondays that'll begin again in August. But it's, I love this. Nassim understands it. Nassim, I talked to some people. So I said, Nassim, if you can't keep up with the Bible reading, don't. That's the most challenging thing in FBI, isn't it? And I said, let me know what your grade is when you say, I didn't. Can you still pass if you say you didn't? What is your grade? B? Okay, all right. So there you go. So it's, how many B's did you get? No, I'm just kidding. So it's don't treat the Bible like a textbook. Treat it like gold. Treat it like just, you know, sweetness. And if it's just a few verses, enjoy two verses and don't feel guilty about it. Let it be rich unto you. Let it lead you to victory. Let it lead you to freedom over sin. Sixth, the Bible's the source of hope. Let's look at some of these verses. See, when you take this in totality, I want you to be encouraged. The Word of God, beg God to help you. Oh God, make your Word fresh to me. Make it like a deer that panteth after water. I don't know the last time. So I'll tell you this story about Jeff. Jeff had to cancel my Bible study this past Thursday. And he wrote on the text, he said, oh, because he had a dilemma. He needed to minister. Did I already tell you guys this on Wednesday? Maybe I didn't. He needed to minister to his neighbor, 91-year-old neighbor, and I thought he made the right decision. Because remember this, Jesus postponed rest because of the priority of people. He made the right decision. But he said this, he goes, I am crushed, or something like this, to cancel my Bible study. He goes, that's my favorite day of the week. And I said, man, I better get with it a little bit better if it's his favorite day of the week. I told him, I said, I was hoping it might be Sunday. But he said, it's my favorite day of the week. And you know what I loved about that? It had nothing to do with me. It had to do with the freshness of the Word of God. And he came thirsty. He came hungry. And he said, oh, to drink from the waters of the Word of God. Not to drink from the hand of the pastor, but from the Word of God. It's fresh. It's good. And I told him, I said, oh, Jeff, I wish I viewed the Word of God the way you did. And that I just, and I want to. That's why I love being around babies, baby Christians, right? You want to get a nursing home enthused? Get our 70-somethings enthused? No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to get in so much trouble. You know, it's okay. I love our 70-somethings, right? And our 80-somethings. We don't have any 90-somethings, do we? And so, you know, I'm just, anyway, just let it go, Steve. Okay, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of thy mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Remember, judgment's another word for the word of God. I have hoped in thy judgments. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The Bible, and that's why our preaching, your preaching, my preaching, your teaching, my teaching, ought to always end in hope. I worry about my preaching sometimes will lead people to be discouraged. I don't want that to be the case. Preaching, teaching, it was given to us that we might have hope, that true confident expectation. Number seven, the Word of God is the source of spiritual food. You know some of these verses here. Matthew 4:4, Jesus had his temptation in the wilderness. He answered the devil and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Are you living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's our nutrition. It's our source of growth. Don't expect to grow in the Lord without the word of God. We need the word of God. And remember what we talked about just a few weeks ago in 1 John. You have no need of any teacher. God has teachers. God has preachers. But the greatest teacher in your life, if you're saved, is the Holy Spirit. But you do need some help at times to be guided. Here's what that verse meant when you have no need of teachers. I am not teaching that I'm the only one that can teach you the Bible. No, you need to study to show yourself approved to God. Go home, study that, and let's get together and let's talk about it. So the Word of God is free counseling. Everybody loves the word free. Free counseling, right? Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Thy testimonies, that's the Word of God. Another, we've been reviewing that recently. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. I say this all the time, and I pretty much stick to it. There's a family that will dominate me, and I'm here to be dominated. I'm here to be used. I really am. But I've told them this. I said, the greatest counseling I can give you is Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You come to one of those services, I will spend time with you and your daughter, and I will open the Word of God, and I'll provide some counseling. If you can't come to the counseling at Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, then my schedule's full, but I will give you my time if you come to the service. I've just found that everybody will abuse you. And so what I want is I just want to see if there's enough interest that can get you to walk down a sidewalk, and they don't live very far away. And so I trust they're going to come, and I will spend time with them. But the greatest counselor that you could have is the Word of God, by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, free counseling. You need help? Search the Scriptures. Number 9, victory over sin and temptation. A very familiar verse, Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Jesus, every time he defeated temptation, he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. He wasn't even tempted in the sense of close to sinning. The temptation was presented to him. That's all it means when he was tempted. But he couldn't sin. But it wasn't that he got close to couldn't, he wouldn't. And what he did is he gave us the example. What he did is he defeated the devil, right? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What he was showing us, let me tell you how you resist the devil. You resist the devil with truth. You resist the devil with my word. And he put it in his eternal word. And so his eternal word, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And he showed us. He had it in his heart. And so he didn't sin. And then number 10, and I've only got 10 more, and I'll move it faster. It's the source of happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. The Bible uses the word blessed. It's the same as happy. Blessed or happy is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Blessed is the man that heareth me, God says. Now, Luke 11:28, he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Remember in John 13, after Jesus gave that great example of washing the apostles' feet? And he said, happy are you if you hear them. No, if you do them. It's happiness is knowing what the Bible says and doing it, right? Happiness is knowing the Word of God. I just know this. Every time, without exception, I caught myself the other day. It's why I love Bible studies. They turn my heart to Christ. No passage ever gets old. It's a delight to teach the Word of God. You get in the Word of God, and if you're saved, your spirit will turn. I think it's almost impossible. And I may be the crankiest person in this room. And God will turn your heart. You find yourself, and you're upset, you're cranky. Just get in the Word of God and just meditate on it. Psalm 34. Was Psalm 34 good tonight? It was just good. Taste and see. Was that it? Taste and see that the Lord is good. I thought I just might have made that up, but I'm pretty sure that was in Psalm 34. But taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, I feel like he's standing at Costco. Got samples. Everybody's like, no, thank you. Gotta watch my weight. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. If you're discouraged, if you're overwhelmed, that's when you should get in the Word of God. If you don't have time for the Word of God, that's when you should get in the Word of God. Because the devil's fooled you. He's made you think other things are more important. And I know this. I worry because I love Clay, Indiana, right? They're in the trenches. You know, I mean, 5:30 is the best time they can find to be in the Word of God. Just get some verses in there. Meditate on them. Chew on them. Get it in you. Think on it. Talk about it. And I know when, while you're on the run or you're on the move, when they were fleeing people, when Saul was after them in Acts chapter 8, they went with the Word of God. So that's not to make you feel guilty, okay? It's not, I don't ask you, hey, have you read the Bible in the last year? Right, but have you been in the Bible every day? Have you been in the Word of God? It's key. Now, quickly, number 11, purity. It's the source of purity. Again, Psalm 119, that should say verse 10. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. No, that's verse 9. That is verse 9. And then, that is verse 9. Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You want to be pure? Get in the word of God. You want to overcome temptation? Get in the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We use that as well, that says God's word is the word of truth. But this particularly emphasizes the second part. Sanctify them. Set them apart unto righteousness. You're struggling with sin? The word of God. It helps us to be pure. It gives us guidance. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You don't know what direction to go. You're not sure what the Lord wants you to do. It's not in the Bible that says what job you're going to have. It's not in the Bible that says, Steve, you're supposed to be a pastor. So I have to seek the Lord. And I want guidance from the Word of God. So many people walk around and I just hear, they're like, I'm led of the Spirit. And I'm like, why do you come to me? And I'm be like, ain't no way the Holy Spirit told you that. And so I usually will say that if they tell me something cuckoo, right? They were like, God wanted me to do this. And I'll go, how did you know that? And they'll be like, well, I just felt it. Okay? Any indication in the Bible that what you're doing is good? No, but, you know, the Bible says, the Bible does say the Holy Spirit will lead you. But I want guidance from the Word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, so I don't walk in the darkness. The devil's the great deceiver. Number 13, the Bible's the source of comfort, the source of comfort. Psalm 119, verse 50. I could have done this. If you want to know the greatest chapter in all the Bible with the Word of God, you want to know the greatest chapter in the Bible with the Word of God? Psalm 119. You will find more nuggets of benefit and truth. I could have just done an exposition on Psalm 119 just for 20. I could have picked more than 20 from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 50 says this. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's made me alive. I can be comforted in my affliction. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5. It's just in Paul's salutation and his introduction to the church at Corinth. He said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I think that's more comfort than in any single verse in the Bible. Let's just read this. It's the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The Word of God, Christ, is our source of comfort. And this world is going to just take us for a loop at times. Number 14, the Word of God is a source of answered prayer. John 15, you know my favorite chapter in the Bible. What? Oh, there's the verse there, John 15:7. I forgot I put it on the slide. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Combination, we got to abide in Christ. But what is abiding in Christ? Abiding in his words. If we abide in Christ and abide in his words, God will answer our prayers. Here's what I'm telling you. When we abide in Christ and we abide in his word, it doesn't mean, oh, God, give me $1 million. Publisher Clearinghouse. No. It's that when you abide in Christ and you truly abide in his words, he will move you through the desires of your heart and the requests of your heart. He will answer them. It's not just talking whimsical requests. You know, if we ask amiss, he won't hear us. But I'll tell you this, you want to abide in Christ, you want to abide in his words, you'll have the wisdom that's from above, and what you ask for, I believe he'll answer. That's what the Bible says. stability. The Word of God gives us stability, right? Many of you might be thinking of James, but, you know, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But this is really, Luke 6, I think, was a picture of what gives stability. He said, "Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." So this is the basis that I use this passage. "Whoso cometh to me and hears my sayings," or hears my word, "and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. If you hear and you do these things," but you must hear the word of God. "He that hath ears, let him hear." You know, I think that's meaning. So that I had this conversation with somebody just the other day. What does it mean? "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I go, "It looks like you have ears." Okay, I'm not that complicated. And I go, "What God's saying is, listen up." That's it. If you don't have ears, it doesn't apply to you. If you have ears, he's saying, "He that hath ears, let him hear. Listen up." And we hear the word of God, it'll give us stability. Give us stability. I tell people, if you see that your children are unstable, it's not caused by truth. It's not caused by the word of God. It's not caused by Jesus Christ. It's caused by sin. Now, don't go attacking your kids and say, "You're going to confess." No, you need to start praying, and you need to ask the Lord for open doors. And you need to know this: when you see instability, it's driven because of the lies of the devil. Stability comes from Christ. Stability comes from his word. Instability does not. Instability comes from sin. The Bible, it says, is the source of health. Now, I'm not preaching health, wealth, and prosperity here, but this is a fascinating verse. I love it. Proverbs 4, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to their flesh." The word of God, life unto those that find them, and health to thy flesh. You guys are like, "Not working out too well for you this year." No, I'm at my deductible. It's I feel healthy. I feel healthy. I will tell you, the more I'm in God's word, you know, I saw this, you know, you see these little 20-second clips, and they're like, moisturizers are the worst thing for old people. Just helping you guys here. It's a freebie. And so they said, but what your body needs is, it needs water, right? What your soul needs is the water of God's word. You know, are you going to be like, your skin looking like, you know, skin that like old skin? I don't know. I got to be so careful. Got some good churches for you guys to go to, but no, it's this. You want health. It's the word of God. Doesn't mean you won't have cancer. Doesn't mean you won't break your hip. But I'll tell you this, I'm more healthy today because of the word of God. You understand that, because when I walk in truth, when I walk in the Spirit, when I do what's right, I have less stress. It's not going to be like, you know, secreting my fluids and hormones in some crazy way that's going to destroy my body. I'll have peace with God my Savior when I'm in the Word of God, and it brings health. Number 17, eternal security. 1 John 5:13, we've talked this on Sunday morning. "These things I've written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God." The Word of God gives me confidence that I'm a Christian. You understand, 99% of people don't believe you can know you're going to heaven. That's sad. But the Bible tells us he gave us a book so that we would know. Number 18, joy. Joy, it's a little bit, a little bit different than happiness. So the statute of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. "The test of thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are rejoicing of my heart." Do you have joy? If you don't have joy, get in the Word of God. It'll make you a happier person. It'll make you a more joyful person. The teens, picked them up last night. There was a different spirit. And you know, they've already been attacked, you know, I'm sure, by the world. But I don't know. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. They had joy because they were immersed in a spiritual environment for a week. Number 19, righteous living. Righteous living. I want you to see this verse, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. You know this verse, but I want to make sure you understand what it says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's great. I could have had the Word of God as the source of instruction that will lead to righteousness. The Word of God is a source of reproof, but it's that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Bible was given that we might live righteously. The Bible was given that it would instruct, it would reprove, it would correct, and it would teach us the basic doctrines of the Bible and the deeper doctrines of the Bible. Why? So that we would live righteously. And living righteously will honor our Savior. I'm going to tell you something really quick, and it came from Sunday school. I had this thought today, so I'll share you my thought. It is, you talked about the husband and wife relationship, in that a husband-wife relationship pictures Christ and His church, right? That's daunting. One of the great mysteries, I've told you this before, of the Bible is when Moses was banned from the Promised Land for striking the rock a second time. And I'm like, oh, seems a little harsh. God's always right. But then I've come to the conclusion over time, it's, you know why God was so right? Because Moses was a leader, Moses should have known better, and he misrepresented Christ. Christ is only punished once, and he struck the rock a second time. He should have spoken to it. We need to seek the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. We need to seek the Lord, right? But he struck the rock twice, and he ruined the picture. So my thought this morning, it was a bit daunting. What am I doing to the Lord misrepresenting Christ by being a poor husband? If it was that big a deal for Moses that he not strike the rock twice, a second time, totally different setting for him. What about us? Clay, that's a big deal. We should love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And you've only been married how long? 5 years. Jacob's like, amen, got it down. Week 3, no probleme. Right? It's like nailing it. Maybe just a few tweaks here and there. Clay looked at me and he goes, if we understood that from that picture this morning, first time I ever thought, ooh, I represent Christ as a husband. What am I picturing to the world? God wants us to be righteous. His word will help us. Then finally, it's a warning. We need to be warned. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 says this. Now, all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, our warning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God gives us his word to warn us. And so I take you back here. It's Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. These are 20 things. If you'd like, I'll email them to you. I think this is probably something worth pondering. It's not that I wrote this. This is just pulling scriptures from the Bible. You could find 100 more of the benefits of the word of God. Are you struggling with the word of God? Keep this in front of you that says, huh, I want my children to be saved. Probably should teach them the Bible. Huh, I'm struggling with sin. I probably should get in the Word of God. I need some counseling. Oh, I probably should get in the Word of God. I've been grumpy lately. Probably should get in the Word of God. I'm struggling with holiness, purity. Should probably get in the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a gift given to us from God. He has preserved His book. We can trust it. We ought to love it. And I keep telling myself, I need to be more thirsty. I want to be hungry for God's word. That I'm not saying you have to do this, but I do this all the time. Sunday night, Deb and I usually go home and we veg. Just hang out. Oh, how you doing? I'm pretty good. What's hurting? I don't know. What's hurting on you? And, you know, we talk like old people now. And like those 70-year-olds. just so terrible. That'll be my last comment today on the 70-year-olds. But, you know, it would be good if we got home and opened the Word of God. I don't want to do it mechanically. But why don't I thirst for the Word of God in that way? It's not going to get old in eternity. I think Jesus could preach for, if there was time, for a billion years, and he'd be like, he'd go, well, because I don't think we'll need bathroom breaks in heaven, but that's just my opinion. And so so after a billion years, he might be like, well, guys, we're going to take a break. I think we'd all go, why? But my attitude is, I need a break. I'm glowing in the dark after Sunday, man. This is just so much. It is, oh, what a blessing. But it's the most neglected blessing, this side of heaven. You want to be a Christian like the Bible talks about? Get this in you, and righteousness will come out of you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible.